It's time for Your Pet's Health, brought to you by Pet Docs Veterinary Hospital in Moorhead City. Pet Docs, your other family doctor.
Hey, welcome aboard to Your Pet's Health. If you'd like to call in with a question, you could do that right now.
800-818-2255, 247-7282, or 353-4674.
Good morning, Todd.
Good morning, Ben.
What are we talking about today?
Well, I want to talk about allergies. because the time is upon us.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people do know that their dogs and cats can have allergy symptoms, but that's about sometimes all they know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to just try and clarify some things and talk a little bit about what allergies mean to our dogs and cats and
right.
what types of things we can do for them, what types of things we can't do for them or shouldn't do for them. So of course, allergies most of us are familiar with are, you know, the things that float around in the air.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them we don't see. So it's not just about, you know, big yellow pollen,
mm-hmm.
Clouds, but those things that react with our immune system.
Right.
And in people, it's usually respiratory, eyes, runny nose,
sneezing.
Those types of symptoms. But in dogs and cats, it's very different. They can have some of those symptoms, but the primary symptoms are related to their skin. So it's itchy skin,
mm-hmm.
it's red skin, rashes, those types of things. Now they can still have some runny eyes, some sneezing, those
mm-hmm.
types of things, but those don't tend to be the predominant type of symptoms that we see with our dogs and cats.
Most of their allergies then end up being skin.
Skin related, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And again, there are some exceptions to that, but those are the primary, the majority of your symptoms are going to be related to the skin.
So that's not just then pollen, it's things they come in contact with
of all sorts.
Right?
And the key thing there is that with what we call atopy or atopic dermatitis
mm-hmm.
is actually things that are floating around. I say floating around, they're not always floating around, but things that they come in contact with that actually touch their skin and start a reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just like the things we breathe in into our nasal passages and our respiratory tract start a reaction there.
Uh-huh.
These reactions are started on the skin.
Them breathing in a pollen is not going to then show up on their skin.
Exactly. It's things that are actually contacting the skin.
Gotcha.
Exactly. And so, we often talk about where the symptoms are, and this can vary a lot. And when we talk about dogs and cats, obviously there are some variations as well. But, a lot of times we'll see symptoms on the underside of the body,
mm-hmm.
in the armpits, in the groin area, a lot of times the feet,
mm-hmm.
Licking the feet a lot, ear symptoms, redness and infections in the ears.
But if you're not checking those areas,
then it's miss those things. And a lot of times we see the pets when they've already developed, you know, sort of a nasty hot spot or an
mm-hmm.
infection of some sort. Or sometimes people smell something and they're
when you
not
say
really
hot
sure.
spot, it's like they've scratched the hair.
They scratched the hair and they've got kind of a raw spot
yeah.
on their skin, and that can be in a number of places.
Wherever their toes can reach.
Right, wherever they can reach, exactly. And so we start talking about this with people with the following sort of classification. There are usually three big categories of allergies that we talk about. One is the seasonal allergy. That's the bulk of these, 80% or so
mm-hmm.
are seasonal allergies, things that they're coming in contact with. The other are, fleas get their own category because they can exaggerate or aggravate anything else that's going on. And then you have food allergies, which is about 10 to 20%. A lot of people focus on food first. They say, oh, well, let me go find some food. And a lot of that's advertising. Okay.
Sure.
Let me go find this, get this food I saw on TV and that'll help. And most of the time that doesn't help, to be honest with you. Fleas, important to control. And we have this conversation every day, you know, that we don't see any fleas on the dog or the cat. And I tell people you still need to do flea control, even
mm-hmm.
if it's an indoor dog or cat, because fleas are just going to aggravate this whole process and going to muddy up our distinguishing features in helping us treat this.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of like if your car's not running, the first thing you want to do is make sure it's got gas in it. You want to make sure your flea control is up to snuff. And then we'll go down this other path of trying to figure out what the other problems might be. So those are the categories of things that we address. And then those are things like mites and molds. Dust
mm-hmm.
mites are a big one, you know, the seasonal
right.
allergies. And a lot of these, we call them seasonal allergies, but depending on the temperature, the humidity.
Yeah.
they're all year round.
A lot of times. Can have fleas all year round.
Exactly. And we have
ticks,
you know,
all year round.
Dust mites, molds. And a lot of times you say the word mold and people think, you know, the sort of the black mold and, and that's not necessarily the case. There are a lot of fairly harmless molds that are in the grass thatch, pine straw, those types of things, not just indoor nasty molds, but obviously grasses, weeds, pollens, those types of things.
No, we were talking about mushrooms the other week, and that's a fungi.
Exactly, exactly. And a lot of that's going to be in the grass. You're not even going to see that type of thing. And most of these you don't actually see, of course. So those are the types of allergens that we talk about or we think about and see reactions to. The other thing about food that I did want to mention is a lot of people will do this unwittingly. And my advice is if you're going to, if you think your dog or cat may have food allergies, talk to your veterinarian because you can almost never make an improvement by switching from brand A to brand B. A lot of people will do that. They'll say, well, I feed this brand for a long time. Now I'm going to try this one. I'm going to try this flavor. And I've never seen a dog or cat that actually got better with that type of switch. It's a fairly complicated sort of complicated process as far as what types of foods you do need to select based on what type of foods your pet's eating.
Because as soon as you add more than one factor in it, you don't know which one it is.
Exactly. And then that's a common problem. And a lot of people don't realize that. And of course, you add to that the difficulty of reading food labels and what does this mean and that mean. Then it gets to be really, really difficult. And you're probably not going to gain the information or the effect that you're after by making that switch. So there's a lot of things that go into this in terms of, you know, trying to figure out what my pet may or may not be allergic to. Are these allergy symptoms or are they not? Sometimes it's not an allergy symptom. You know, it's an ear infection maybe that has allergies at its root, but maybe we've never seen allergy symptoms before. So a lot of times it's hard to get that through to people and say, look, you know, you came in for an ear infection or a skin infection, but really, you know, we're going to treat that, but we're also going to look at long-term management. This is probably an allergy problem and we need to talk about some other, you know, ask them other questions of you about your pet's history. You know, have they had other skin problems in the past? And try to break down a little bit maybe what some steps we could, what are some steps we could take in addition to treating the main issue that you might have come in for.
Well, this kind of brings up a subject. Maybe it's for a whole show sometime. But you know, when we come in with our pets and we say what we think is going on, does that send you down the, you know, down the wrong path, or instead of just saying here's what's happening?
And it can, and that's a, you're exactly right. That's a very good question. There's a lot of different twists and turns to that. So we take in a history, we call it a history, you know, find out what the complaint is, but then it's also just as important for me to come back with questions to clarify, because, you know, having been at this probably longer than I want to admit, you know, I recognize certain things that people will say, and I think sometimes I know what they really mean. And so I'll come back and say, okay, is this really what you mean? Because that's different than what it sounds like on the surface. And that sometimes will mean a huge difference between going down this path to the right or this path to the left.
Okay. We're going to come back with more. If you have questions about maybe something's going on with your cat or dog, you want to give us a call, 800-818-2255, or these local numbers.
247-7282 or
3534674. Welcome back here at Coastal Daybreak here on the Talk Station, FM 107 and AM 1240 and 726. And we're talking with Dr. Todd Orell from Pet Docs Veterinary Hospital, online at petdocs.com. And we're talking about allergies.
Yeah, and so I wanted to mention just a couple of things that people can do at home.
First, I have Patsy on the line here. I forgot about that. Hi, Patsy. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning,
Dr. Todd.
Good morning.
First of all, I would like to say I'm very thankful for you for fixing my dog's leg.
Thank you.
And second of all, my dog takes Trifexis for heartworms, and that's supposed to be for fleas also. Do you think that's enough coverage, or should he have more?
For fleas, that's a very adequate, very good product. So I think that would be plenty. I would not, we use the term double up, you know, and buy another flea product. Mm-hmm. Now, if you have tick issues, it doesn't really do anything for ticks, or doesn't do a very good job for ticks. It's not on the label mm-hmm. that it does anything for ticks. So we often tell people, if you're having a tick issue or you have a concern about ticks, you find them on yourself, for example, mm-hmm. Then you can talk to us about what are some of the options. Because when you use a combination product like Trifexis, which controls heartworms and fleas, you can't just sort of take them off that and start something for fleas and ticks, because you have your heartworm issue. You got to make sure you control, mm-hmm. you replace something. Use a replacement for the heartworm prevention, as well as some new flea or tick product. So, but Trifexis is an excellent product for flea control.
Thank you so much.
Okay, you're welcome. Thank you, Patsy. Bye-bye. You know, you're talking about skin allergies as well, and but the things that may cause skin irritations for us aren't always the things that cause for dogs.
Absolutely not. And we actually, I didn't mention one because it's fairly rare, contact dermatitis. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a situation where a dog gets a new sweater mm-hmm. or something like that, or shampoo, and they have a reaction to it. That's not it's a reaction, obviously, but it's not the same type of thing. And those, fortunately, are not that common. Mm-hmm. Or you use like a topical flea product and they get a, reaction or something like that. That's a contact, it's an immediate
also
type
pretty
of problem.
Immediate, though. It's
easy to pinpoint, exactly. Yeah. Bathing is a very helpful thing for dogs with allergies, mm-hmm. even just to wash off the allergens off the skin.
There you go. Yeah.
So that and antihistamines. Talk to your veterinarian about some of those options.
Okay, and you can talk to your folks at a Pet Docs Veterinary Hospital. Give them a call at 240-3885.
Thursday nights at 6 on the Talk Station. It's the